Who will encourage this subjectivity when the parents themselves believe that I am a donkey, that I am an idiot, that I am not structured into transcendence? How will they develop the subjectivity of the newborn child? Understand? Parenthood is a very, very important and highly prized state where you can give birth to a human being and make it a god. Or you can give birth to a human being and make it a demon. Or an idiot family. Objectivity comes naturally with growth and experience, but subjectivity is to be developed with care. Subjectivity is to be developed with care for the simple reason that when we were at the stage of the kitten, we did not care to open and close our subjective eyes. Do you understand? Because nobody told us how to open and close our subjective eyes. But it is not late. Even today, you can try, like the kitten, to open and close your subjective eyes. And that can be done by a few simple techniques and methods. Dr. P.S. Kalmeshwara, a very fine man, Rao, says, before the advent of the theory of relativity, time, space, matter and energy were considered as separate compartments of reality. After Dr. Albert Einstein published his equation, this view had to change because it is now proved that matter can be transformed into huge amounts of energy in its unified field theory. It means that things that appear to be totally different can be transformed into each other at deeper levels of nature. That means when you sink below 2 millimeters of your gray matter, at deeper levels of nature. 8 miles in the Pacific, 1 billion light years into space is nothing compared to a few millimeters below 2 millimeters from the surface. The deeper levels of human being. And we are talking first of deeper levels of nature. What about the deeper levels of a human being? Isn't it very funny? Going down by a few millimeters below 2 millimeters of the surface, we can be different. Isn't it strange? And we have never thought of going a few millimeters deeper. Because we don't believe it. Because science has not said it. If yoga has said it, science has said, oh no, we have not experienced that. But it is very strange that a few millimeters below 2 millimeters of your surface brain, there is a different world. A very, very different world. A world of peace, a world of ease, a world of knowledge, not of knowledge, of wisdom, and everything that one can. These eyes then will be able to see billions of miles into space, or billions of light years into space. These eyes will be able to see through rocks. These ears will be able to register what is done in another part of the universe. The human brain is the finest creation of God in the whole vast universe. In India, fortunately, the great souls have only gone deep within themselves to find the subjective life, and they have come out with their experiences and techniques to help us today to experience the same thing. Thousands of years ago, The ancient seers and rishis of India also worked on the question of whether nature is ultimately unified or not. They analyzed from a subjective viewpoint, unlike in the West, and chose to solve the problem in the most practical way. Objective awareness is time, space, matter, energy. Subjective awareness is waking, dream, sleep, and fourth stage, diving deeper. But both can lead to a further step, namely silence, and then the final step, the unified filled state. You have just talked about keeping memory at bay for a split second. You have just talked about it. That is what we are talking again here. That for a split second, if we can keep our memory at bay, so that thoughts do not take shape, we shall be able to hear the whisper of our own divine fragment. Or, in the beginning, we may hear a whisper from infinite divine mind. And we shall start our journey with communication between our brain and the mind of God. Let it be a fraction of a moment. So what do we say here? But both can lead to further step, namely silence. Silence of that fraction of a moment. Silence of that fraction of a moment. Some of you must have heard, all of you may not have heard. Our heart beating. How much noise it makes. When that sound is magnified, it seems as if a factory is working.
Grr, grr, grr.
Like that it sounds, you see. And we think that the heart makes a sound, the lungs make sound, but the brain doesn't make sound. The brain sound is worse. It's like a crow who thinks its own voice is very, very melodious, you see, like a crow. Like that the brain voice and creates that noise, the worst noise. If for a fraction of a moment, if that noise can be stopped, then there is silence. In that silence, we can hear. And you'll be surprised. If on the physical earth, a physical world, if you can reach a speed of 1 mile, in the astral world with the same effort you can reach the speed of 100 miles. And in the mental world you can reach the speed, again multiplied by 100, 10,000 miles. You get that? So, when I am talking of a fraction of a moment in the subjective world, it is an eternity in the objective world. So you are getting the whisper, not actually for a fraction of a second, it is a fraction of a second on the objective plane, but it is actually in terms of achieving an eternity on the objective plane, which is just lived and wasted. Here at least you experience something. So silence is meant like that. Silence means the silence, the noise of your thinking, if it can be kept away for a fraction of a moment, then you can hear. In that silence you can hear. Silence is very important. What is silence? What is silence? What is silence? It's very easy, you use the essence of mind, isn't it?
Think about it,
it's
silence.
Silence means essence of mind. Silence means the divine presence. Even its whisper is silent. So it calls for subjective silence to hear the subjective whisper. So when we talk about silence, it is that silence. Have you ever been standing on a railway platform? I don't talk about terminus, huh?
Mangalas and Vikas and all and ordinary stations, the trains can go. If you are standing here, the train is going very fast. Somebody is standing on the other platform. You can hardly see that person, isn't it? The person is there. He's always there. That person I call silent. The train is going fast. These are our disturbances. Correct? But for a split second, if you observe properly, you'll see that person in between the rushing train. But this is the state when that person, which is silent, sees the divine fragment. For the fraction of a moment, in spite of the disturbances, you'll see. And that is what we are talking about here. Silence, and then the final step, namely the unified filled state. The final step meaning the fraction of a moment becomes longer, 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 and as sage Patanjali says, will become 1 second one day, and you have reached the state of dharma. It has become 10 seconds one day in your life, you have reached the state of dhyana. In some life it might become 100 seconds and you reach the state of samadhi. 100 seconds of samadhi is 100 eternities in the objective world. You get me? 100 seconds of subjective state is equivalent to 100 eternities in the objective world. There are two ways of looking at the world. Objective view, seeing time, space, energy, matter as existing outside of us. The subjective view that everything is within us and arises out of our own awareness. And the world we see outside is only a projection from within. I am not explaining further at this stage, otherwise I'll confuse you again. No, we do not exist. What happens in deep sleep? The total outside world does not exist for you. Even the bed in which you sleep does not exist. But this is negative subjectivity. Subjectivity of ignorance and not of knowledge and wisdom, which is the final step. In the subjective state, you are again not aware of the physical world. In the sutra we have come across, no? But for the man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe ceases to be. That means the objective universe is not destroyed, but that objective universe does not disturb the subjective state of the individual. When the split second over increasing, then we reach unified field, when we are for a longer period, then the vastness and the meaning of creation is understandable. When we pay attention to something, it means that we are shifting from passive to active awareness. Attention exerts far higher influence than we ordinarily realize. We are all victims of passive awareness. Education for attention. If you have not got, please read. And if this attention be of the grade of dharana or dhyana or samadhi, what is not possible? One of the surprising findings in the process research is that subjects can make the hands warm or cold or raise rashes on their skin in a matter of few minutes. Similarly, subjects hooked onto biofeedback machines can do also similar things. The point is the power of one's own attention to body, creating, controlling and transforming their own body. Let this thought sink deep into your awareness. And the body is in pain. A distorted area of your awareness is crying out to the rest of the body awareness for help. An injury heals because the inner intelligence goes to work in it, on it. We normally refer our awareness as our mind, which is not the fact. but science cannot find it. Neither psychology could find proper objects for study and experimentation. William Jones, a medical research man and a philosopher from Harvard, all the thoughts, emotions, desires, impressions that pass through the mind are the proper objects for study. He called them beam of consciousness. We have called it a river of thoughts. The stream of awareness is not merely thoughts floating down the river. It must be noted, and this is a very important point not brought out so far in our notes, but just now I told you about the train and the and standing on a platform, that in between two successive thoughts, there is a gap of silence, which is tiny and unnoticeable. Naturally, because the rate of thoughts being 120 pulse per pulse beat, a gap between two successive thoughts would be impossible to notice. Now, just as I was trying to tell you about the fast train going and you standing on the platform, if you can see your thoughts running at the speed of 120 per second or per pulse beat, the gap between two thoughts would be impossible to observe. Supposing you have a method like the camera going slow to show a slow movement. Supposing we have a method whereby our brain is slowed down to see this gap between two thoughts. What we will see? And you are hearing me, no? If we can slow down our brain and our thoughts, and if you can see that immeasurable little gap between two thoughts, what will we see? Silence. What will we see? Silence. The divine fragment sitting there, waiting for you to wake up from your sleep. Divine fragment sitting there as witness, waiting for you to get up from your sleep. So if you can see by slowing down your thoughts between two thoughts, oh God, he is sitting there waiting for me, and you will wake up. You get my point? If we can slow our thoughts, if we are a machine to slow our thoughts, to bring the slow movement of our thoughts so that we can see each thought also clearly, and in between two thoughts we'll see a gap. That gap will be silence. That silence is a divine fragment sitting there waiting for it. It has been waiting for an eternity, it will wait for another eternity. Whether you make use of technique or you make use of bhakti, it is entirely left to you. Or you make use of hatha yoga or whatever you like. Slowing down your brain so that you can see the gap between two thoughts are the techniques and methods of yoga sutra. So when we study or practice these techniques and methods, do not have in your mind whether these techniques and methods will bring one day transformation in your life. As I told you, you are structured into transformation. Structure. These gimmicks, these machines, they are gimmicks. But we have to make use of these gimmicks and arrive at something to see that infinitesimal small gap between two thoughts. The person who can see this gap between two thoughts can see God. But this gap is always there as a necessary component of the stream of thoughts. If that gap is not there, if the silence is not there, if the divine fragment is not there, you are not there. To put it another way, there is always silence and the thoughts disturb the silence, but between the frequency of thoughts, it will be always there. this silence is the silence of the silent area, which is always there, the free zone, mind you, which we will be never able to know, feel or experience if this stream of thoughts continue to flow non-stop. But we are doing nothing about it. We will realize that even prayer and japa disturb this silence. May I read it again? You will realize that even prayer and japa disturb this silence. Am I clear?
Okay.
I'm good. You have dealt with this aspect. Modern psychology, being completely oriented to the contents of the mind and mechanisms of the brain, ignores this gap as something non-tangible and of no significance. Perhaps they are totally unaware of this gap of silence. Actually, this gap is the main reality to what lies behind our thoughts and emotions. It will enable us to have a glimpse into the world of reality, a world actually existing inside us and yet obscurely out of reach. In the Mandukya Upanishad is the story of two birds sitting on the same branch of the tree. One bird is eating the fruit, while the other silently looks on. The bird, that is, the silent witness, stands for the deep silence behind our thoughts. It is the source of all our intelligence and awareness. Only it is alive, not we. And when it departs, we are alive no more. Everything that is experienced on the surface of life, that is exhilarating, all rise from this deep level and float. To be aware of these truly and not theoretically is great. A person normally at a particular time is either waking, dreaming or in sleep state, the three subjective states of awareness. Whatever he perceives or experiences in these three states constitutes his or her so-called reality of life. But the tiger in a dream state is not the tiger in the waking state. It obeys entirely different laws. So the laws of sleep state must be distinct from those of waking state. And, this is important, and if we can normally call our earthly life itself a dream state, the laws of actual awake state would be or ought to be so very different. The ancient yogis and rishis meditated on the question whether there is a unity behind the seemingly different states of awareness. They worked in their own way on a unified film theory. The unified film exists in the real world. It cannot be experienced in the bubble or on the objective level. It is also not a mental concept or a mathematical equation, but an experience. This is the difference between the work of such ancient seers and our modern day scientists. The Yoga Sutra makes possible to experience first hand for those who one pointedly continue and not count the number of years passed in such practices. The reward is experiencing the reality. The unified field is altogether a different state of awareness, which the seers call Surya or the fourth state, to denote that it is not part of the three states of waking, sleep and dreaming, but an actual real state we are not aware of. It is also referred to as para or beyond state, meaning that it transcends the ordinary experience of three states. It was concluded by the seers and rishis of India that this fourth state actually exists everywhere but is hidden by or distorted by the three states as if by a screen, a light screen or a heavy screen, depending on the individual's progress. The fourth state can be experienced only after mind-brain transcends its normal activity. Yoga is the special discipline devoted to this purpose, leading to pure meditation, that is dhyana, and not what passes for meditation. and other practices and techniques. This was first propounded by Sri Patanjali in Yoga Sutra. You are not only a yogi, you are also a physician. His system given by word of mouth deal with the study of mind, its functions and control. So that yogi or rishi stands for a person who has learned to enter at will this fourth state and experience whatever is there. It is not a process of thinking, but a phenomenon of immediate and non-verbal experience. So rishis and yogis were also capable of, as we are, in the objective approach of dividing nature into time, space, matter and energy. But they chose the subjective approach to understand and cross this gap and enter the silent area where thinking cannot reach. It is like seeing the objective world from a subjective viewpoint. Only after such repeated experience by many rishis and yogis that this universe or rather the entire Brahman was called the bubble. Study of this diagram is important. Veda represents an immense expansion of the human mind. It is a total content of the cosmic computer. Remember further than observe what is written further. All the input of nature is channeled into it and out of it flow the natural phenomena. And finally, the control of this computer is located in the human brain. But the brain as an object or an organ is not important. According to the rishis and yogis, it is important because on our objective level, it alone can translate our subjective experience. Because without it, such ability of operation, the process of translating subjective experience, we remain unaware of our experience on the subjective level. When an image falls on a mirror, what takes place? The mirror is the reflection and the reflection is the mirror. And in the same way, the reality or our subjective experience is mirrored in our brain. All that exists is therefore inside of our mind or behind our objectivity. Objectivity by itself is not the reliable way of knowing, particularly when we investigate deeper than nature's surface. Subjectivity can be narrow or expanded. When attention is paid to an isolated object, one channel out of innumerable ones is selected and the rest is excluded, and the level of awareness does vary. But it is normally presumed that not more than three channels can function. And how could this be possible? The visible universe, mind you, is a small version of the original existence. But through expanded awareness, or as we have mentioned earlier, pure awareness, the limitless reality that is lost to us otherwise is made available. This pure awareness is Chitti, infinite divine mind, the mind of God, as an external covering to Satyam. Many things do not exist for us, not because they are not there, but because in our insight we have not shaped our brain to perceive them. We live by three channels only, waking, dream, sleep. We can never know that the fourth state exists unless our nervous system is prepared for it. When we lose touch with our pure awareness and get content with our surface and localized awareness, we become what we have become. It is said, in the place of Vedic consciousness, India today, unfortunately, is left with only the Vedic books. Long the generation of Indian wisdom gave rise to the misunderstanding that life is to be lived in an ashram on the basis of detachment and sacrifice as the only way to guide people towards pure awareness. This is a false view. The whole purpose of transcendence is to expand the mind limitlessly, that is, to open all the innumerable channels. But we are content with our individual mind and forget that it is in fact the part of the infinite divine mind that sustains all the three universes. If subjectivity expands, then its reflection, the visible world, must also expand with it. There is no need to sacrifice objectivity and worldly values. Truth is, the mind always wants to seek the fourth state, and it will find it someday if left to its natural tendency, and we can give it some help by certain techniques. Yoga discipline and true jnana are valuable to turn the mind in the right direction. Note. Thoughts, like ocean waves rising and falling, the waves only see their own motion and are aware that they are waves, such as awareness, and pronounce I. But the obvious, larger truth is I am the ocean. It is no exaggeration in the midst. Actually, there is no separation whatsoever between a wave and ocean. But only when the wave settles down, it instantly recognizes its source, the ocean, which is infinite, unchanging and silent, and was always there. It has not just happened for the wave. The wave mind, like the wave, is all activity. When it is thinking, it becomes a wave and says, I am the wave. When it stops the activity of thinking, it returns to its own source, namely the infinite, the unchanging and silent. It is then that the brain mind touches pure awareness and finds all peace. The idea is to get this experience. We do not move horizontally as a wave on the surface of ocean. That is, with the river of thoughts or the stream of surface awareness, but to sink vertically below 2 millimeters, down into the depths of the ocean. This is transcendence, going beyond true jnana. This is a state that all manifestations of mind and brain cease to identify, that I am a wave, and begin to identify with the ocean. This mental process can be deep or shallow. The deep dive means to reach the hidden blueprint of intelligence in the zone of silence and be able to improve. Only then the thought process is slow enough, that is strong enough, to gain nature and influence this need. When thought process is normally weak, that is ceaseless, it triggers only the appropriate mechanism. The question is whether yoga discipline can radically change and improve the thought power. The question is whether yoga discipline can radically change and improve the thought power. The answer is, it does induce a profound change. Something in the realm of silence exposes our reality and our view regarding reality, and then we project the same in life. What's the time now? The last page will take next time. It's another 1 hour, it's very important. Not untired. Your brain will not take it. Your brain is already tired. You are doing too much at a time. So when are we meeting next? 26th of March. As I told you, I would like to bring one machine that day. That machine scientifically proves that we can go below 2 millimeters and experience ease. If that machine can help us to experience ease, then not our techniques help us to experience the same ease. And if we can do that, the yoga way, we are not dependent upon a machine. It means that scientifically it is proved we can go below 2 millimeters of our brain and experience something. If I am able to bring, well and good, others in the next week. So this last page is also important. Even the few pages I read hurriedly are also important, and I want to connect all these in our next meeting. Day after tomorrow is necessitate our meeting for our exercise. All these crammed up space with so many good souls sitting here, on Saturday you will see a quarter of them alive.
But yes,
we
there
to see the science. This gets about less. So, well, whoever would like to come on Saturday, see that you are here. And we seriously go ahead with our fourth stage. Fourth phase. Because, let me talk to you about this machine that takes you below your 2 millimeters. And you experience ease. This fourth phase is the earliest technique that you will learn to go below 2 millimeters. But the rhythmic movements must come. Unless the rhythmic movements come in your exercise, there is a jarring somewhere in your brain and mind, and that will disturb you, that will not allow you to go deeper. The purpose of this fourth phase that we have been doing for some time and then stopped last time is to experience your subjective state. In this fourth phase, you take nearly 10, 20, 10, 10, no? Nearly 50 minutes. But after 50 minutes, if your rhythm is correct, you must get up more fresh than tired. If you get tired and give way after a few minutes, it means the rhythm is not coming. And when the rhythm comes, just as the opening and closing of the kitten's eye, certain centers in your body and brain have to wake up, have to regenerate. Look, I am not obliging you by giving you some experience. You are built for this experience. I am only telling you to do some little thing here and there so that you find your own real self. And fourth phase is just the alphabetical stage. What you can do later. So please give all importance to this fourth phase and come as much prepared as possible. What is our timing on Saturday?
4 o'clock.
So please try to come at 4 o'clock. And we meet for a regular meeting on 26th of March. And if you have any questions, when you come on 26th March, bring all your questions along with you. Okay? Thank you. Good night.